Om Shanti. Dear sisters and brothers, it's time to overcome immunity to change. Anyone has ever felt this kind of inner resistance? Head says, yes, this change is needed, but somehow something inside is resisting. So we have here Sister Sveta, who is revealing the secrets, how we can really gain this smooth and easy self-transformation. And Sister Sveta, she's from Hyderabad, and she has a background in electrical engineering and business administration. And she has been with Baba 32 years. So she is very precious Baba's jewel, who is also running Gita Patshala. And many of you might know her from Double Foreigner season, because she has been coming here for many years. You might have seen her at Global Office, and even this year she is part of the Double Foreigner program team. And my experience of her is that she's like a spiritual rose, very easy to cooperate. She's always smiling. She has always this kind of spiritual fragrance, and it is very easy to approach her, very easygoing. So I can't wait, and I'm sure you either, what she will reveal today on this topic. So thank you so much for being with us, Sister Sveta. Warm welcome.
So thank you, Sister Ella, for beautiful introduction. So actually today's presentation, which I'm going to show you, I actually made this for Laukik people, you know, Laukik professionals, because in the world also, by profession, I have a training in leadership coaching, you know, for all those people who are in the position of leadership to bring about any change which is permanent outside. You know, we have to make change within us. So change subject is a very deep subject, and we often find many resistances to change. And for Baba's children, this is also a very interesting topic. And we are very fortunate in a way, because we have lots of tools, more than what Laukik people have. And we also have deeper understanding of how our mind works and what is our original qualities. We have access to this knowledge, which makes us much, much easier on this path of self-transformation. So let us look at this topic more into change. Today we are also going to do one very interesting exercise. It's a very rigorous exercise. It will definitely need help, and I would go around and help each one of you whoever needs it. But before that, I will also give a little bit background about that exercise. Okay, so what is our approach in this subject? So how does the change happen, and what is that we want to focus in the whole aspect of change? We are not looking at external things, right? We are looking at mindset transformation. So as Brahmins also, we all want to change our sanskars, right? So what is the composition of this mindset or the sanskar? And how does it get formed and strengthened over time? And why is it difficult to change? We'll look more into that. So what does a mindset transformation require? Is everyone able to hear? Is my voice clear? Okay. See, in this session, we are particularly trying to look at blind spots. We all want to change, but there are certain aspects which we cannot see ourselves so easily, right? But today we are trying to unearth those blind spots. And also, we have certain hidden competing commitments. Does anybody understand by this word, competing commitments? As Sister Ella was saying, mind says something, heart says something. But actually, do mind and heart are separate? Where is heart? It's in the soul, right? So, how does it happen that we have two opposing commitments in ourselves? It is basically conscious and unconscious mind. We'll explore that. Consciously, I want to do something, but unconsciously, I'm doing something opposite of that. So, they come into such a locked situation that change doesn't happen. So, in the exercise we are about to do, we are going to clearly see how conscious commitment, unconscious commitment are competing with each other, and we are at a standstill. It is like we are going to take an X-ray of our conscious and unconscious mind. It's a very, very deep researched exercise. So, we are going to unearth these competing commitments, and also we are all, you know, trapped into some big assumptions. We are like a servant of our big assumptions. We are holding some big assumptions in our unconscious, and that is leading us with our behavioral patterns. So how do we change those big assumptions? For Baba's children, this is very easy to understand. It's very easy. Because from so many births, we have so many wrong ideas, wrong identities which you are holding. So how do we challenge them? And how do we specifically use them to change a particular habit or a trait or a mindset? We'll look into that. Okay, so what is a mindset? Or what is a sanskar? So, the Google definition. Established set of habits held by someone. It is much deeper than that. Let us look at what is a mindset. A mindset is a collection of things we believe. We all know how beliefs are formed. That itself is a very big subject. How beliefs are sitting in our conscious mind, unconscious mind. It's our culture, our education, our experiences in life, so many things. They form this beliefs in our conscious and unconscious mind. And also, we are living with many assumptions also. We assume that this is the way things work. We assume that this is how I am. We assume that this is how things should be. So we are holding on to all these assumptions, beliefs. So it's a combination of all of these. You know, the mindset. Sometimes it is consciously and sometimes it is not. And these are constantly influenced by your needs, by your feeling. You're also, you know, feeling is also some very interesting thing if you have ever thought about. Thoughts are something very clearly in our control, right? And how about feelings? How do you define feeling? What's a feeling? See, feeling is something very deep. See, actually feeling is a language of our subconscious or unconscious. You see something, you get some feeling, probably an intuition or something, maybe this is right or this is not right, this is good, this is not good. Even before you rationalize it, you get the feeling. Before we even understood what is Jnana, when we came to center first time, how did we feel? We felt good, confused. When you first came to Madhuban, how was your feeling? Feeling, right? You felt good. You don't even rationalize at that point why you're feeling good, right? It takes time to rationalize it, but before that, you get a feeling that it is good, right? So it's a combination of all of these things is our mindset. And now, to change our mindset, we have to challenge our assumption. The whole exercise today we are doing is about challenging the assumptions which we are holding unconsciously. And how can you see what we are holding unconsciously? See, Baba tells in Murli so many great titles, so many great swaman points of self-respect. Do we accept it? Some yes, and a majority no, right? We try to compromise. We try to force fit it, right? So why is it happening like this? Consciously, I know I'm a powerful soul by Jnana, but am I behaving like that? Is it always reflecting on my behavior? Why is it not behaving? Because, see, sometimes our reactions, a lot of them are unconscious also, right? So what is stored in our unconscious is something opposite of what I'm trying to believe. Unconsciously, I have so many memories or so many things which says that I'm not powerful. So the instantly in a situation, we try to behave like that. Is it making sense? Yes? Okay, now let us look at conscious mind versus unconscious mind. See, we all know this is a very, very, very popular picture. Conscious mind, they say, is just 5%. And unconscious mind is 95%. Now we are feeding Jnana in our conscious mind, right? And now how do we take it deeper? What is preventing us taking it deeper? So, even before that, let us look at what's in our conscious mind. What does our conscious mind comprise of? Logical thinking. Logical thinking also, we have different levels of skill in that also, right? Depending on our education background, depending on the surroundings where we are brought up, depending on the influences we have. So this is a logical thinking, the willpower, short-term memory, critical thinking. These are some of what comprises of conscious mind. These are all, we are constantly improving on these levels, right? Especially we Brahmins, we are constantly improving. We are listening to knowledge, we are listening to classes, we are doing service, lots of new learning, new experiences throughout. And now let us delve into what is called unconscious or subconscious. So what does that comprise of, which is a bigger chunk which is guiding our behavior? Beliefs. Some of the beliefs are conscious, some of them are unconscious. Do you agree? It is. Or also previous births, memories. some people are just scared of dark. Logically, if you think, there's no need to be scared. But we cannot explain. Some people cannot explain. They cannot rationalize why they are scared of dark. Right? It is a belief, something which is deeper inside, which is like a flight or fight mode. You know, you get into the minute you face, see that situation, that triggers in. So that's the belief system, beliefs which are stored in our unconscious. And also, there are some deeper memories. See, why Baba always encourages us to think of the cycle? Why does he emphasize in almost every Murli churn, spin the cycle of discus, cycle of the whole kalpa? Why is that important? Because we are refreshing our good memories, powerful memories, which are actually deep below and we are not even aware of that. So we are slowly trying to bring it out. And also we have many protective reactions which are inside in our unconscious mind. We have a lot of imaginations. Right? How many of you agree that we have lots of assumptions and imaginations? I think we are all subject to that, right? What we imagine sometimes could not at all be true. Right? We imagine that this and this would be the reaction. We imagine this and this might happen. As a child, we are very free. We imagine a lot of things, right? But as we grow up, what happens? We rationalize it out a little bit. We can distinguish more clearly what is real and what is not. Still, we can use this in a positive way, right? And all the controls and systems of our body, physical body, are also in our unconscious mind. Can you consciously increase your heartbeat or decrease your heartbeat? Can we do all these functions? We can, but majority is happening. If I think that I want to stop my heart now, can I do it? Right? So where is those controls coming? How is it happening? It's all through our unconscious mind. And our emotions, the value systems what we hold, all these are also part of our unconscious mind. Our intuitions, our fears, and our identity relating to our self-image. We have so many variety of self-images, right? We imagine that if I get that job, if I do that, if I have this particular thing, I'm happy. Now, it is so easy for us as Brahmins to understand this. But for Laukik people, it is a very big force actually. So it is very clear what conscious is consisting of and what unconscious is consisting of. We are going to use this information. This is in fact the basis for our entire session and the exercise which we are going to do. Because what happens is, consciously we want to change, but unconsciously there is an opposite force. So how do we unearth that opposite force? That's the whole idea of today's session. See, this is a very simple picture. See, today the picture of myself is coming from my past experiences, right? From my past. What all I have accumulated, that is the self image what I have. And also, we all have some aspirational self. I want to become like this. Baba gives so many aspirational images for us that this is where you have to get, right? But also what is happening is, unconsciously we have a lot of fear also. That what if? So it's a combination of these, both aspirational self and also our feared negative feeling about our future. So now, let us look at what prevents change. The first, of course, is resistance. So what else? I think it's being more a monologue. Let us just start discussing. What prevents change? Fear. Okay. Can we look into it more? One more step. Fear of what? Belief system. Fear of others' approvals. If I change, will I be approved by others? Because I am holding on to one image that if I am like this, then I get everybody's approval. Right? We are holding on to that very strong in our unconscious. And we are scared of touching that. Right? That's one thing. Okay, and what else? We are in a comfort zone. Yes, we don't like change. Pain. Fear to fail. Fail. Yeah. Fear to fail. Yes. That's again, it's also part of this comfort zone thing. Okay, in this zone, I know how I operate. The minute I move out of this zone, I might succeed, I might not succeed. I'm not sure. Right? So we have that fear of stepping out of our comfort zone. And what else? What could be fear of discomfort? Yes. Always, for any learning, you have to be uncomfortable. You have to go through this process of discomfort. That is when you learn. So I think all of you must be knowing how to swim. Right? I assume. But when you first jumped into a pool, how was your reaction? It was almost facing death. It was almost like that, right? And what else prevents change? We don't know what to change. That's very interesting. This is a bigger problem for Laukik people, but for Brahmins, the job is much easier, right? But I remember just a few days back in the meeting in which Jayanti Ben was meeting 30 plus years, she told something very interesting which made me think more deeply in context with this. She was mentioning that if we look deep within, we can find there is one trait which is hindering our progress. And how do you find? There is one trait which is hindering our progress. Then somebody asks, how do you find it? Right? She said, if you look for it, you'll find it. If you really start looking for it deeply, and I think Madhuban is the best place to look for what is that one thing I want to, that's a pattern which is a repetitive pattern. What is that one thing which is causing that repetitive pattern and repetitive set of experiences which I want to change to progress? I think Madhuban is a good place to look for that. So we can all easily find what we want to change. Not difficult if we look for. Okay, and what else? Fear is something we discussed. And denial is something we discussed. We don't want to get into that. And sometimes we get very defensive about our weaknesses. Right? We try to justify. Yeah, this is how I am. This is okay. This is how many are. And this is how I am. And everybody is, they seem to be okay with it. Right? And you are trying to defend your weakness. You don't want to put in effort to look at it more deeply and change. Right? So the more we get into this mode of defensiveness, the harder it is to change. Ego. Yes, it is the ego, and it's a lot to do with all these things. It's also the deeper resistance. we're okay, others are not okay, that is also one thing. And we're also comfortable with, we also justify that this is an accepted thing, worldly. It's very well accepted. So we get into all these different modes which prevent us from change. So anybody wants to add more to this? And also the most important is blind spots. Everybody knows what's a blind spot, right? I have some black spot here. Everybody can see except me, right? There are some behavioral patterns which everybody can see except me, right? So how do you get to know what's your blind spot? If you have that very deep ability of self-introspection, which is the best way, because nobody would know our deeper weaknesses better than I do. And there are also other ways. What triggers you? You have to be very aware. And there's very Laukic technique, and it's also quite commonly used in Baba's world also. Taking feedback. Taking feedback from others helps us know what are our blind spots. We think we did a great job because we are only looking in one direction, right? When we take feedback from others, we know how many mistakes are in that, right? So it's very important to take feedback, especially of seniors, so that they help us move forward, uncover our weaknesses. Okay, now should we jump into the activity? Because the activity itself is going to take a lot of time. I would take at least 10 minutes to explain that activity, and you would take at least 20 minutes to do that activity. And then we start to discuss that, what are the methods to overcome that. Okay? So this activity, it is called a four-column exercise. This has been developed by one Harvard professor called Robert Keegan. He specialized into adult learning techniques. What makes, you know, as a child, learning curve is much steeper. But when it comes to adults, learning is much slower. Because so many more baggages, both conscious and unconscious, are triggering us, are holding us back. So it's much difficult for adults to learn new things. So he did a lot of research on that, and he came up with one very interesting exercise called four column exercise. So the first column, I'm going to distribute these sheets which has these four columns. So I shall explain you what these four columns are about. See, what we are trying to do here is, in the first column, we are going to write about our developmental goal. Or what is that one aspect I want to change? And then we go deeper and deeper and deeper. What is stopping us actually? What are the big assumptions we are holding inside our unconscious? So this exercise helps us like to take an x-ray of both our conscious and unconscious mind. What is happening that I'm assuming in my unconscious that I'm not able to bring about the change in conscious mind? Okay? It's a very deep exercise. It's not easy. It takes some thinking to do this, but I'm here to guide you. Don't worry. So the first column is about development goal, and the second column is about those behavioral patterns which are stopping my developmental goal. See, there are two behavioral patterns which we are going to separate. Those patterns which I'm doing, two is we are looking at our behaviors. Those behaviors which is directly stopping my goal. I have made one example, a very logic example. I am going to share that so that it's very easy to understand. Okay? So within that also, I think we go straight to that example. And the third one is the worry box. Now we are getting into our next level, unconscious level. What is the worry I'm holding that which is manifested as this behavior externally? Okay? And the fourth is a big assumptions. So I think we better go into the exercise. So the exercise, the sheets which shall be distributed is this. The incremental goal and the behaviors that I am doing and not doing, which is hindering that, my worry box, my hidden competing commitments and big assumptions. Okay, so before that, I think I'll directly start with exercise, example. Yeah. Because this is the best way to understand and then we go back to the theory. Very simple goal, extremely simple goal. I have to take my medication every day as prescribed by doctor on a regular basis. How many of you really take your medication every day? You do? Okay. How many of them do not do? Maybe I ask that question. How many of you do not take your medication seriously? It could not be a serious life and death, even a simple thing. How many of you do not do it regularly? You know, research says one out of every seven only takes it seriously, which is roughly 15%. Remaining, they don't do it that meticulously, religiously every day. Okay? So now, okay, my goal is simple. I want to take my medicine regularly. I want to exercise. I think this is something we all want to do, at least at logic level, or I want to lose weight. These are all simple developmental goals we all can have, right? Okay, now let us go into column two. What is I doing? What is my behavior? What do I do that is preventing me from that goal? First thing, what is it I am doing? First thing, I don't take it regularly. That is something I am really doing it, right? And the second thing is, I stop for a long period of time. And then maybe I start. So, this is something I am doing, right? I am stopping for long periods. So these are two of my behaviors which is stopping that. And what is it I am not doing that is preventing me from taking medicine every day? Probably I am not refilling my things. If I refill, then I might take medication more regularly, right? So I am not refilling. So this is something I am not doing which is stopping my developmental goal. Is it clear here so far? Is it clear what I am doing which is not helping that, and what I am not doing which is preventing column 1? Okay? Clear? Anybody has a doubt at this stage? Because next one is more complicated to understand. Is it clear? Clear? Okay. Now let us go into the next column called worry box. Now, worry box is basically opposite of column 2. What worries me actually, if I don't, for that behavior to be like that, what is it I'm worried about? Okay, that's a worry. No, worry is actually a deeper thing, more deeper than that. See, the worry is that I'm sick. That's a worry, right? See, you keep on taking medicine every day, then you're reminding yourself that you're sick. Aren't you doing it unconsciously? consciously and also unconsciously. You take a pill every day, it means that you are subtly giving a signal that you are sick. So you are worried that you are sick, right? Do you see where I am getting at? You don't want to be sick. That is why you stop taking medicine. You know? And also, you feel that you are getting old, sick, and probably I am going to die. These are all our unconscious worries. Now I don't even look at that medicine box. Then I feel happy, right? So this is my unconscious thing that is preventing, that is leading to that behavior on the surface. Okay? So these are my worries. So it is almost like opposite of column 2. The column 2, it's almost like the opposite of that. And now, we are going to make, once you write your worries, this is something you have to think and write, and you are going to make a direct opposite reversal of your worry box. That is your hidden competing commitments. So what is that hidden competing? See, I am worried that I am getting old. I want to make opposite of that. Exactly reverse that statement. Then it means, I am committed not feeling like old, sick. Okay? I am worried that I am sick. So let's make a reversal of that. I am committed to feel that I am not sick. This you are doing it only for the exercise sake. Okay? So that you go to the column 4. So column 4 is a big assumption that we are holding in our unconscious mind. The column 4 is, if I take the drug every day, I probably feel I am getting older and sicker. So that's a bigger assumption I am holding. That is why all these behaviors are surfacing on the surface. Okay? Is it clear? Now, once you understand your big assumption, so you can start working on your developmental goal. That's the most important thing, the first one, what you want to change. And I'll tell you 2-3 criteria for that. It should be something you really want to change and which is possible for you to change. And it should be realistic. If you write something very unrealistic, I want to become an angel in 2 days, it will not happen. It has to be something very, very realistic. It has to be something very realistic. So just make a note of that. Take 5 minutes because that's the most important thing. And then you know about what is the behavior, right? What you are doing, what you are not doing. So I'll just come back while you do this.
Om Shanti. So even if we don't understand another columns, we can just start with the column number 1 and start to identifying that what is that what I really want to improve, because I need little bit reflection for that. And she will come back soon, so she will give more guidelines.
When you're peaceful, everything works. I went, that lock opened in one instant. Yes, it opened in an instant. Yes. So it is when you get worried that time is up. That's all right. So now the most important thing is column 1. Once you have that, if you are stuck with column 2, I can help you. But if you don't have column 1, I can't help with column 2. So let us take 3 minutes to finish column 1. Give the example of medication because it's so basic to understand. Now you are free to put whatever you want. Say, you can even say that I want to do Amrit Vela regularly, right? First step, just simple, I want to do Amrit Vela every day. That's it. Just put that as a developmental goal. And then next, what am I doing that is preventing me from doing Amrit Vela? I'm sleeping very late. Like that, you can write list of the things what you are doing that is not helping you with that. Got it? And what you are not doing. What you are not doing is probably you have to set your mind that you have to wake up. You have to be genuinely interested, genuinely motivate yourself, which you are not doing. Right? Or maybe you are thinking it's not possible for me. You are assuming that it's not, I cannot do it. So if you keep giving such things to yourself, then you cannot wake up, right? So what is that you are doing, what is that you are not doing to help you with that? Okay? So please be sure you fill your column 1 in next 2 minutes, and for column 2 I'll help you. Thank you. developmental goals can be just take one, and it could be something which you really want to work on immediately. Say I want to improve my temper. I have a habit of bad temper, okay? I want to improve my temper. That is my developmental goal. Okay? So what am I doing that is making me have bad temper? So then I can start going deeper into that. Why has that become such a big habit that I'm not able to change? We go deeper and deeper and deeper and try to evaluate your big assumptions. So it is very important to write your developmental goal which you really want to change immediately. Then you can move forward in this exercise. Okay?
Thank you.
Sorry, this is not a very simple exercise. It looks simple, but it is quite deep. Even to understand how you move from box 1 to box 2, normally I take half a day for this exercise, 2-2.5 hour session. But in Madhuban, we are just squeezing it 1.5 hour. But still, I just want you to put focused effort. I'm sure we'll get to column 4. For example, I just tell from example of others, you know, so that it's easy for you. One of my developmental goal is I want to wake up Amrit Vela every day, regularly. So what are my behaviors? What am I doing that is not helping? First thing is, I'm sleeping late. Right? Second, I'm watching videos till late in the night. Okay? Third, I don't want to, I have my Laukik company, I have to give company to my Laukiks. So these are all what I'm doing. And what I'm not doing is, I'm not focused, I'm not firm to others, and probably I do not have enough love in my behavior towards Baba. I do not have probably enough commitment. Probably these could be some of the factors. It is very individual, so you have to write. Once you have these, then we get into worry box. Okay, what if I don't give company to my Laukik people? What am I worried about? I feel like I'm getting isolated. Okay, what if I don't watch videos? I feel I'm missing out on fun. You're worried that you're missing out on fun. So worry box is something. What if you don't follow behaviors in column 2? What are you worried about? Right? There is some hidden worry inside that is making you do with those behaviors. So now to get to understand that, you have to think opposite of that. Okay, what if I don't behave this way? Then what am I worried about? Got it? Then that is where you are getting into the assumptions you are holding in your unconscious. Slowly you are getting there. I see a lot of question marks on the faces. The thing is, you start doing it, you'll get it. Start doing it, call me, you have a doubt. Yeah. So here we have a very beautiful example with this sister. Her developmental goal is she wants to stop criticizing others. Okay? Because it's a very deep habit, right? So why is the deeper reason we criticize others? So we'll see that. So the developmental goal is stop criticizing others. So what she's doing, which is not stopping to criticize. Sister, she thinks I'm right. I'm always right. She thinks that I'm always right. That is why she's criticizing others. And what she's not doing to stop, she's not appreciating others. She's not appreciating others and she's not seeing value in others. That is, she's not doing that. That is why she's ending up in criticizing people all the time. So now, the worry box is, why is that she's always not seeing value in others and why is she not appreciating others? What is she worried? See, the worry is, if I value others, maybe my value is less. Maybe it means I'm not as good enough. Right? Maybe I'm less valuable than others. You see, that is what we are holding. We have less self-respect. And on the surface, what is the behavior? We are criticizing others. But what we are holding inside is something else. Now you see, these are competing commitments. That is why our behavior on the surface doesn't change. Okay, this is just one example because she is going in a dry direction. Hidden commitment, if you count the worry box correctly, then it is a direct logical reversal. I have made a slide specially for that. See, if I keep praising on others, then I feel stupid. Okay? I say, you are so good at this, you are good at this. Then I am worried that if I keep doing that, I feel stupid. Okay, so if that is in a worry box, what comes into your hidden competing commitments is, I am committed to always look smart. It's a direct, you just write that word, I'm committed, and make a logical reversal of that. I'm committed always to look smart. I feel vulnerable. The opposite is, I am committed to always feeling strong. So this is what you are holding inside, that I always want to put up like this. That is why you trace back, our behaviors are like this. And now the fourth one is a big assumption, that's the most important thing. So how many of you made it till worry box correctly? If you are at worry box, then this is direct reversal of it. 5:30. So let us go quickly. I have one more very nice practical example. This sister has written that she wants to exercise regularly. Okay? So why is she not? What is that she is doing that is not helping her? She has not put a time slot for herself. She has not done that. Okay? And what else have you written, sister? She feels tired after doing exercise. So exercise is increasing their tiredness. Okay. So she is not doing something with her tiredness. She is not eating something which will make her less tired, or drink something in between, which she is not doing all of these things. Because of which she feels tired, and because of which she doesn't do exercise. Okay? I know worry box. Maybe she is exercising too much, more than what she should do. Okay? And then suppose now let us assume that what is, if she stops all these behaviors, then what worries her? What is in your worry box, sister? So she is not prioritizing. Let us go to the opposite, worried. She feels that if she prioritizes, she is wasting a lot of time. She is wasting time by doing exercise. That is why she is not prioritizing that. She is worried that that is a waste of time. That is why she is not prioritizing. And the other thing is, pardon? So the opposite of that is, and she feels tired. So the hidden competing commitments is, she is always committed to feel strong. And she's committed to not spend time on her body, which is, she thinks it's a waste of time. So what is the big assumption? The big assumption is, if I spend time on my body, it's a waste of time. That is why I don't do exercise. This is not valuable enough. This is not good enough. This is not a worthy activity. I'm getting tired. I'm losing out on a lot of things. That is why I'm not exercising. So now, after all this, you get to this big assumption. So now, you start to work on your big assumption. No, this is very valuable. My body is a valuable asset. The time spent is well worth it. And it is normal to get tired. There are ways to combat tiredness. So you work on all of this. Then, if you start working on all of this, it will implicate in the behavior change there. The behavior changes, now I'll start to exercise. Now I know that it is not a wasteful thing. I know it is a useful thing. Now you understand how the big assumption, what you are holding in your unconscious, is not letting you with your behavior. Is it clear? I'm sorry, because of lack of time you could not finish, but if you want, you can make a note of these slides. You can go home and think and do about this. Or you can even search for Robert Kegel. Probably somewhere in YouTube you must be having his exercise. You can look for it. See, now my focus, as we are coming to end of this, now we get to big assumption. Suppose we all have done this exercise and we came to a big assumption. So what is the big assumption is, suppose I'm always committed to look smart. This is my hidden commitment. Then the big assumption is, if I'm not smart, then I'm useless. That's the assumption you're holding in your head. That is why whatever is the behavior pattern in the first column, okay? If I'm not like this, then I don't like that. If then, this big assumption will help you arrive at that statement. Now, once you come to a big assumption, then what you have to do is, how you have to change. And for Brahmins, it is very easy. Because we have many, many powerful tools with us. The only effort you have to put is, where is my big assumption? What assumption I'm holding inside? that is not helping me change my behavior. If you have analyzed that much, then now how I work on your big assumption? Because, see, consciously I know, but this assumption is sitting in your unconscious. How do you make the change in your unconscious, right? There are many techniques of doing that. First thing, you have to observe your big assumptions in action. Right? Okay, now I am exercising every day. Do I feel, is it a waste of time? Or is it time well worth spent? I feel more happy. So you challenge the big assumption and start doing opposite of it. Then you can see an action, right? That I feel happy doing exercise. So you challenge and do an action which challenges big assumption. That is one way of slowly start changing. That is how the habit forms. And the second, you should stay alert to the opposite, what could again and again trigger those big assumptions. You know, okay, I'm feeling tired all the time I do exercise. So you're making that big assumption strong in your head. You should think, no, today I was okay, it was not that bad, it was okay, I could manage it. If you don't pay attention to that, then you're strengthening. Every time exercise I feel tired, this is no good. So be aware of what is challenging your assumptions. And also, you can make a test of it. Okay, I start doing exercise every day for 10 days. Then I make a note of my feelings. Am I really tired every day? Do you really feel that I'm improving? How all did it improve? If you start to make a small experiment for yourself, then what happens? You're reinforcing your learning into your unconscious also. You're doing consciously, but it's also getting into your unconscious. So your behavior on the surface changes. Is it okay? Is it too difficult to understand? The whole idea of this exercise is, if you don't work on what is sitting in your unconscious, the assumptions, you can never change your behaviors on the surface. So you have to put up all those assumptions and start working on those assumptions. That is when you actually start to change your behavior. See, because, yeah, I'll go there, but before that, this is very important. First, you become immune unconsciously. All those big assumptions sitting in your unconscious, you are immune. And then that leads to consciously you are immune. That makes your conscious also immune. And then how do you release that? For that, you need to consciously first release that. Then the next step is unconsciously also you release it. This is how you release your immunity inside. And habit formation, we all know this is very basic for all Rajyogis. We know action, thoughts and results, they follow a loop. Right? And this is one way of it going deeper into our unconscious. And there are very other tools. These are also Laukik tools and also very well applicable in Brahman life. Have your supervisions. Have a conversation with someone. You know, they'll help you challenge your assumptions. Because we are so much caught in our own pattern of thinking that we are not able to challenge our assumptions. So it's good you sit with someone experienced and discuss. I'm not able to do this. What is that? This is the hurdle I have. Then they'll help you look at your assumptions. Then you can start working from there. So supervision is a very, very beautiful way of challenging our assumptions. Even in the world also, there is something called coaching nowadays. Coaches help you to challenge your assumptions so that you automatically find your own solution. Coach is not going to tell you a solution. They will make you realize, come up with your own solution. They only give you that framework of thinking. So supervision is one thing, and help other people interpret what you are thinking, what you are doing. That is one very nice way. And mapping. Mapping is a very powerful psychological tool, scientific tool. See, at least in corporate scenarios, suppose you have a problem, you have some situation, sometimes you cannot verbalize it. So what they are made to do is, they are made to draw, paint a picture of what is your problem, what is your hurdle, what is your, then you know, you start to linking the problem to so many things. That is one way of looking at what your unconscious is holding about that situation. Because unconscious always holds the language of images. So this is one way of unearthing your unconscious, your assumptions. Is it making sense? Was this too complicated? Too fast because of time, unfortunately. And listening to experiences of others. That is one very, very powerful tool, and we all do that, right? Baba has made this our culture of sharing experiences. Why we share and listen to experiences? Because we are validating the assumptions all the time. Right? So it's a very powerful tool of learning and unlearning, sharing of experiences. And also, it's also a very important tool to develop a proper logical thinking and reasoning, analyzing. So all these are some of the tools which would help in changing our behavior. Thank you, and sorry for rushing through the whole thing. I wish I had 1 hour so that we could do that exercise thoroughly. Okay? Yes, I can do it on Zoom. Okay, somebody wanted other slides. This one, right? This one? This one? You want this presentation? But I'm happy to do this presentation on Zoom. Yeah. Anybody interested can email, and when I do this on Zoom, I'll inform all of you. And also one important thing of which you have to take picture is that 4-column exercise. This is something, this is a very important thing. You can take a picture of this. This will help a lot. This slide has everything almost. Okay, now let us sit for a minute of meditation.
And before that, those ones who want to maybe have the Zoom session with Sister Sweta, please come here and write your email address after minute of silence.
Yes. Opposite of opposite of 2, that is column 3. Worry box. Worry box is that. Yeah. Okay, just a minute of silence and observe all what you have done or heard in last 1.5 hour. Song Nai, first let me just summarize everything and then we go into silence with music. You can just close your eyes. And embrace yourself on the path of change. I am very fortunate to have true knowledge of myself, the original knowledge of the self, and company of Almighty, whose power and whose knowledge help us in self-transformation. I am so fortunate to be able to transform myself and help others on this inner journey of transformation leading to inner freedom, inner power, increased inner power, and increased all my original qualities. So let us take a moment of silence and look at our perfect form, where all my behaviors have been transformed through the method of Raj Yoga into a divine behavior, into a divine personality. This is a vision I keep in my conscious and also unconscious. I hold this image of my perfection, and slowly and steadily worked towards it. Om Shanti. Okay, any feedback? Anything you want to comment?
I was just thinking on the example which you have about the tablets. Although it's a simple example to make the point, how to go through those columns. I feel if we have an example which is more related to Gyan, would be more helpful in our context. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for that. And any more comments? Was it useful? So you can see how we're always going around with our assumptions, which is surfacing in that behavior, are not helping us change that behavior. Okay? So it's a teaser to start working on it. Okay? Just 1.5 hours is very small. It needs at least 2-3 hours to do everything properly. Okay, thank you. Thank you all for coming here.
Thank you, Sister Sveta. This was very, very useful. And even though we did not have enough time, but we started the process right. So now we can go into the reflection mode and we can continue working with this. And so please remember to give your email address if you want to know more about this method. Thank you.